Good morning. Happy New Year. Hey, thanks for being here. We're starting a new series. We're going to spend a few weeks together in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 36 through 47. This is a picture and a statement of the early church and how God was moving and working, and I think it's a great picture for us to look at. There's many transferable themes and concepts and things found there. Already for me, as I'm doing that, I'm just super encouraged, and in many ways it'll be an affirmation of who we are and what God's doing here. But I think also we'll be challenged, and we'll know of other friends who are in Christ but not here or not here often, that we can be used by God to challenge, to press in more to God through the body of Christ. So I do want to take a minute and just thank you again for your faithfulness to the Lord. We'll have some specifics as to how we ended the year financially, where we're at with the Dollar Club. And you still have time to give to the Dollar Club for 2024 through next Sunday. We are meeting with the sheriff and the chief of police to help establish a benevolent fund for law enforcement and first responders. That will happen, and we'll take at least part of the money that you've given the Lord this year to do that. Anyway, Cheryl and I are overwhelmingly blessed by you at every turn, but in October and at Christmas time, especially the cards, the notes, the encouragements, Cheryl thanks you for most of the goodies that made it home. Some of them, they got stuck here for a bit and didn't quite make it home. Cheryl's really good about writing thank yous. If you didn't receive a thank you, it's her fault. It actually means I forgot to tell her that you gave us a note or a card or some kind of goodies. So, anyway, I'm going to talk more about that today. We're going to spend some time sharing with one another. We're going to end our time at communion. This remembrance, this reflection on all that Jesus went through to purchase our salvation, that the gift of eternal life is free, but it was costly. And so we take this time to remember we have bread which is broken and is a reminder of Jesus' body which was broken. And we have grape juice, fruit of the vine, which represents Jesus' shed blood. And we share an open communion here, which simply means if you've received Christ as your Savior, you're encouraged, actually expected, to participate in that service and that time together. I want to read a passage out of Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. This is the first time the word church is used in the Bible. Ecclesia, the Greek word for really the whole body of Christians scattered throughout the earth. The church, not just our church, but the church. So in Matthew 16, Matthew records for us in verse 18, this is what Jesus says. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. I want you to understand that Jesus established the fact that he was building his church. He said, I will build my church. And we've preached on that a number of times. Jesus said, I will build my church. And those three little phrases help us to understand what Jesus was saying and what our role and responsibility is. That this is all about Jesus. It is a process I will build. And it's his church. It's not our church. Sometimes we get to a point where we're frustrated with the way things go and how culture changes, life changes, and church changes. And as if this were my church and you're changing my church. This is his church, and we lean into him at every turn for what church should look like. Not just our gathering here, which is important, but our scattering how we operate as the church, not just gathered today, but scattered in all of our spheres of influence. Next, I want to read Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47. Again, we'll be using these verses for the next few weeks together as we talk about... Can you put that graphic up again, my church? So Nadine did this for me. I kind of told her what I was looking at. And when you think of church, you think of a building. This passage is going to help us understand that it's much more than that. And those pictures hopefully reflect that. So let's look at Acts chapter 2. Beginning at verse 36. This is Peter ending his sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Let all the house of Israel know, therefore, for certain that God has made Jesus, him both Lord and Christ. This is Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for those who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, Peter bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls to the church. So the church began that day with 120 people, and it ended the day with 3,120 people. It's going to be not longer into the story that there's now another 5,000 or about 5,000 people. Continuing with verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as many as had need. And day by day, attending to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So I want to challenge you to read that portion of Acts 2, verses 36 through 47. Read it every day if you can. But over the next few weeks together, we're going to look at that. We're going to break it down and look at it at least phrase by phrase, if not verse by verse, and allow God to continue to use us, change us even more, and just, again, glorify himself through us, especially in our community. I want to give you six reasons why we need a sermon series on church. The first reason is easy believism. We've made the gospel about you. That you just need to pray a little prayer, God saves you, and then you're going to go to heaven. And if we're not careful, we make that to sound as if now you can just go along your merry way. And if you're in a more liturgical church, you may show up to confess your sins formally in a setting to do that, but then live however you want the rest of the time. The second reason is we've also made the emphasis on a personal relationship with Jesus. So again, as the church was reformed over the years, with an emphasis on the reality that salvation is by grace through faith and that not of yourselves, it's not about... you, it's God's work in you. It is by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. And so what had happened to the church was that there was almost a concept of the church saving you. And that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That had been skewed to almost a universal salvation by God. That if you're part of the church, you're saved. And so there began, especially in America and especially in the 60s, an emphasis on a personal relationship with Jesus. You need to receive Jesus as your Savior. Yeah. God loved the whole world, but you personally need to receive Jesus. You must be born again. And there's a lot of truth in that. But again, what that did, especially in our culture, is it just further emphasized this independent, just me and God. All I got to do is pray a little prayer and I'm saved. All I got to do is receive Christ myself and I'm saved, and I'm an island to myself. A third reason that we need a sermon series on church is COVID. I hate using that word. I hate even bringing it up. But here's the reality. Prior to COVID, church attendance in America was considered, being in church, regular church attendance in America was considered going to church about twice a month, about half the time. Post-COVID, regular church attendance is considered that you actually go to church every 6 weeks. There's a difference in how we look at church, how we gather, how we do that part of what the church is. A fourth reason is prosperity. We live in a culture and a time where we can travel around the world in a day, and we can be somewhere else, and especially here in America, we're wealthy as compared to the rest of the world, and we can do things and have things, and I've shared with you over the years that how important I think it is that you enjoy all that God has provided for us in Northwest Colorado. I don't want you to stand before God and have him at the end of time, I don't want you to stand before God and have him say, "You never went to the gates of Lodore? I made that for you. You've never been to Vermilion Falls? You never went skiing? You never rode a four-wheeler?" Listen, I want us to enjoy all that is afforded for us where we live. It's wonderful. We're so fortunate to live where we do. But sometimes that can get in the way. Sometimes that can become an idol or even a god if we're not careful. Fifth reason is a bad ecclesiology. What I mean by that is a misunderstanding of the church. Ekklesia is a Greek word which means all the people who believe in God. Let me say it better in the statement that I had earlier. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. The whole body of Christians scattered throughout the earth. That's the ecclesia. And you can have a bad ecclesiology that, again, takes it away from the idea that you belong to the church. Jesus didn't say, "I will build myself through an individual person or individual people." He said, "I will build my church." The church is, I believe, it's the hope of the world. Because Jesus is building his church. And when you come to Christ, it is about you. You turn from yourself and your sin. You receive Jesus. He takes care of everything that's been imperfect in your life, your sin, in the past. He's taking care of all of it in the present, and he's taking care of everything that's going to happen in the future. That doesn't give you a license to sin. That doesn't give you an excuse to not be good. It's just a reality that we can rest in. And so coming to faith, being a Christian, is about you. But don't forget that you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son that God loves. See, it isn't just about you. It's about the reality that when you come to faith, you are born again, you are baptized into the body of Christ. And we'll talk more about that here in a minute. A sixth reason is a consumeristic view of the church. The church is for me and what I want and what I need. And we've made an Amazon aspect to the church. You can stay at home and watch church. Cheryl and I often catch services and messages, especially from a number of other churches, and that's a good thing. That should be a supplement and a complement to your responsibility to be connecting formally and frequently with a body of believers. We have one church and speaker, Cheryl and I like to listen to, and here's the big church. It's well known. They have a huge online presence, and here's how he starts his sermon every time. I'm so glad you've tuned in today, and I want you to know that we've prayed about you being here online with us. We actually believe that God's going to use what we say today to further His work in your life, to glorify Himself through you. But we want you to understand that this is not a replacement for you being involved in a very local and connected part of the church. This should not replace your responsibility to be in fellowship with other believers. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that how every online sermon should start? So the sixth reason, and summing up all of these, is me church.
Recklessly calling the shots.
I don't know who sets the worship center temperature, but why does it have to be so cold?
Why do you have to be so right? Heated chairs are now being installed.
This one wants a small church, but I'm afraid if it's too small, they're going to make me volunteer like crazy. And I don't stack chairs, do I?
Makes total sense. Join now and we'll let you decide the size of our church.
We're millennials, and we want a church that...
Say no more. Any requests you have will be granted immediately.
Parking is horrible. It takes me almost 6 minutes to get from my car to the building. Ugh.
It's going to take me 6 seconds to tell you a valet service is on the way.
My pastor's preaching, it's all over the map. I say, oh, I don't know, stick with the books of the Bible. We should be only exegetical.
Okay, next week we start John chapter 1, verse 1. And we'll even start pronouncing that word the way you said it.
Hey, I'd like this sermon to be no longer than 30 minutes.
How does 15 minutes sound?
Hey, anybody willing to go 15 should be willing to go to 10.
You drive a hard bargain. But from now on, 5-minute sermons it is.
Now you're talking.
Me Church, where it's all about you.
Some of you may have noticed that Johnny and Chachi have really cleaned up. So, anyway. Paul and the other New Testament writers often use word pictures to describe the church. The church has been called the household of God in 1 Timothy 3:15. The church is a family, Galatians 3:28, Hebrews 13:1, and 1 Peter 1:22. The church is eternal. Your marriage isn't. Jesus said, do you not know, have you not heard, have you never read, that in heaven at the end of the age you will be neither married nor given in marriage. Your marriage is not eternal, but the church is. I think we're going to recognize each other. I think we're going to have a special relationship with our spouses, with our families. But that dynamic is not eternal. We're part of an eternal family, which is the brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have a Father. The church is a building, Ephesians 2:20 and 1 Peter 2. I want you to think about a building. If we take a brick out of the side of this wall and just set it out in the middle of the parking lot because it's an independent, it is a brick, it is a part of the building. If a number of bricks do that, the building falls down. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And what he's building is a church. It's a building. And we're connected to each other. The building can't stand unless we stay connected to each other. The church is pictured as a flock of sheep. 1 Peter 5. The church is Christ's body. No part of the body can say to another part of the body, I don't need you. We need each other, and we're all a different part of the body. And it's only as we come together and work together and live together that the body functions. And when that doesn't happen, it's like a spastic body, a body that's disjointed, a body that doesn't work right. Think of a body without a foot. Think of a body without an arm. It's just doesn't function well. Again, the church is the hope of the world for salvation. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. I found this quote. It's really good. From Acts 2, we discover six actions which the church must major on if they are to be the hope of the world. We speak of them regularly in our groups. They are prayer, worship, discipleship, evangelism, fellowship, and ministry. But these six functions can be summed up in two personal actions called the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But becoming the hope of the world will only happen when the church becomes spiritual, not just spiritual in worship, but in word and in deed, in daily life, and in actions. Until the church that is in you and me, until the church, that is, you and me, has a heart for God and His righteousness, the church will not be the hope of the world. If the church does not offer hope to the world through their lives, ministries, and actions, then the world will have no hope. Hope is found in Jesus, and Jesus is found in the authentic believers who make up the local church. And we always need to keep in mind that we're just a part of God's church, but we have a significant calling together as a church. I'd like to ask this question. How have you seen the body of Christ at work? I was thinking of this the other day, and I'm the fortunate one who gets to see so much. I get to see things that are done anonymously. We were given a car as a church. It was a really good vehicle, a great van, and it was in super good shape. And the person who donated it had made sure it was in really, really good shape. And at the time, Cheryl and I were down to one vehicle. We had one getting worked on, and there was a lot of thought in our heart. Maybe that was for us. And I told Nadine and Gary, and I talked, and I said, look, don't license this because we don't know really what God wants us to do with it. 2 days later, we got a call. And an organization in town said, hey, we want you to pray with us about something. And here's the situation. They said, we've been helping a lady who was human trafficked. She's ended up here in our community. She's been here a little while. She works in Steamboat, and it's hard for her to get there, and her employer is willing to put a couple $1,000 towards a good vehicle to help her be able to get back and forth from Craig to Steamboat. This lady needs a car, and we just want you to pray with us about it. And I said, we don't have to pray. We have the vehicle. The body of Christ at work. I've seen our body sit with people who are in the last stage of life. We've been hospice for people. It's really interesting to me that often I show up at the hospital to visit somebody who's there, And there's already two or three of our people there visiting. We're involved in each other's lives and we're involved in our community. I'll think of more things I'd like to recount as we go on, but Candace, did you take your microphone with you? Okay, I got Sam's. I want to give you an opportunity. I want to again ask, how have you seen the body of Christ at work? And so if you would like to share something, I encourage you to come up and tell us who you are and how you've seen the body of Christ at work. I can bring the microphone to you as well. So, is there someone who'd like to share? Hi, Jace.
Well, good morning, y'all. I usually don't talk that much. I'm a big group. If you don't know me, I'm Jace Elliott. I'm a new person to this wonderful church. But how I've seen Jesus is through this church. I was born Christian, but was put into a Mormon church. And ever since I moved up to Craig and seeing how you guys worship him, it made me realize that this is one true church that I should be with, because all you guys are amazing. But the main thing is that we love Jesus, right, for what he did for our sins. He died for our sins. And that's why I'm excited to take bread and water.
Why?
Oh, no. Yeah, so I'm used to my church, so it's bread and water there. But I'm just excited to see y'all, and I don't know what else to say.
Hey, Jace,
we're
super excited you're here, and
you
have a great story, and we'll hear more about that over time, I'm sure.
Yes,
but,
sir.
Yeah,
you definitely will. Thank you.
Brian. Yeah. Someone else, how have you seen the body of Christ at work? You're making me feel like you haven't seen the body of Christ at work. Diane.
Don't talk much. I remember when I was working at the nursing home here in Craig, and Vicky Rickerby was there and was dying, and I was her nurse, and there was about six ladies from this church that stayed with her pretty much round the clock there toward the end, and I was just so impressed that they were so faithful to come to the nursing home and stay with her, because she became a special lady to me. I didn't really know her before then, but when I was her nurse quite a while,
yeah,
I got to know her better.
So for those of you who don't know, Vicky knew she was in the end stages of life, and she was resolved to that, and she had a great relationship with Jesus. She wasn't concerned about that. But she didn't want to be alone when she died. And so six ladies from our church made sure that there was somebody there continually until she did pass. So. Yeah, Ruthann.
This week, well, I do some volunteering with the Senior Social Center, and we make phone calls and visit people. And this one lady that we called, we couldn't reach her by phone, and I just felt... I said, why don't we just run over there anyway? And we did, and she was home, and she had just gotten home. And when we walked through the door, she burst into tears. She said, I need you to pray for me. Her family wants her to go into a home, and she's just broke up about it. And I just felt like that was God prompting us to, you know, even though she didn't answer her phone, to go there and be there for her. And just, I was just able to remind her that, you know, heaven is our home, and all these other places we stay at are just little stopping off places. And I felt like we were able to encourage her and help her through that process.
Thank you. You know, yesterday we had a funeral service for Janie Jacobs, and one of the greatest highlights of my life has been that I got to baptize Gonk and Janie. And some of you will remember Gonk had the big handlebar mustache. And they were in their 80s and had a number of spiritual connections and infusions over the years. Had both received Christ but had never been baptized. They lived in the Steamboat area most of their married life. And we had the wonderful privilege of baptizing two 80s, people who had never taken that step of obedience in their faith.
I just want to say I've seen God at work in our body. Every time we have a need for meals or some specific item that is needed, we always come through. The meals fill up. Anytime we ask for food for funerals, that fills up. Help, assistance. Thank you for doing that.
So the room you're sitting in and this side of the building is intentional. We prayed about it, we thought about it, and we wanted a foyer that would lend itself to people staying. You know, churches for so many years were built basically saying, get in and get out. If you look at an older church, the doors open into the sanctuary. And it was intended for you to get in there for service and then get out when it's over. And we wanted to have an area that just lend itself to hanging out. And Jim Dodd especially, one of his great desires and heart was that we would have a facility that would be large enough for community funerals, but we would have a foyer that would give an opportunity to connect. I wish you could have been here yesterday. I had to ask the people before the service, it was time to start, I had to ask them to go find their seat. They were just enjoying one another. People who hadn't seen each other for a while, mingling in our foyer. And then when the service was over, they were in the foyer for an hour and a half. And this is one of the major ministries that God has called us to. This is part of who we're about. And we mourn with those who mourn. And it's a wonderful privilege. Someone else. Gwendolyn.
Most of you know, I'm Wendy, that we have lost two children in the last 2.5 years. And I just cannot tell you enough how the outpouring of love from this body has come through prayers, through meals, through encouragements, through notes, through just... embracing us is, you know, a family. And I just thank you. We couldn't have gotten through this time without all of y'all. Thank you.
Yeah. Dan.
I'm Dan Hodges. I see Lord at work in this body all the time if I keep my eyes open and my mouth shut. For example, Craig helps Tiffany out. She wouldn't be here right now this morning, I don't think, unless there's people willing to go over the east side of town and give her rides. And Love Inc. is huge in the community, helps people out. Project One, the people that do the work and the volunteering that helps people in need here is amazing. So I see the body of Christ working there. This past week, Sherry and I wanted to discuss some things with Pastor and his wife. Well, they were on the way back from Steamboat, and we were going to meet at 2, and they said, well, why don't we meet at 1 at OP? Well, we go to OP all the time. So God just made a way where that afternoon I was like, boom, boom, boom. We didn't have to wait for a specific appointment, and we got to have a great time of visiting. And so keep my eyes open, my mouth shut, and watch, see where the Lord's working, and he's here.
It's always great for me, too, when somebody brings a friend or a relative to meet me that they have shared Christ with, and the person has opened their heart and life up to Christ.
I'm Tanya Joya. We've been here since 2017, and when we came in 2017, we had two young men. So what we were looking for was a strong youth group. And one of the things that has come from the PACE experience, from Andrew being here, and from, especially with Andrew's giving heart with my young men, is that strong youth group for a place for them to grow up. Even though we're in Hayden, we shuffle ourselves over here. We drove for years. My youngest young man said, I don't really need my license. I'm like, yes, you do, because you need to drive over here so you can be here. So I am so thankful for the youth group that's just really built itself in, and for the Young Life that is also part of this and supporting this group, because it has really made a difference. So let me give you a testimony. My oldest young man has kind of walked away from the church at 15 for his own reasons, but that young man, when he is in trouble or feeling worried, he will come to me and say, will you pray for me? And that's a lot because of you. The other time he will come is when you have a meal, because he lives here in Craig. I'm like, dude, it's free food. Come on. He's still showing up. He's still participating in the limited way he's able to do right now. And all of you welcome him when he comes in, and I appreciate that.
Lindsay.
Right before Christmas, I was going through fast food, and I had this thought to get extra food, and I thought, oh, I don't want extra food. And I was like, just listen. So I got extra food and thought to go by the library, and I saw a woman waiting there who looked upset and was waiting for the library to open. And I was too embarrassed to just straight up give her food, so I pretended to return my library books, which I did have to do. And I got to talking to her, and I said, well, have you had a meal yet? And she goes, no, I haven't. And so I gave her the meal, and she almost broke into tears, and she said, I'm waiting here because there was a case of fraud, and my money, my income, has been sent to a wrong address for fraud. Someone hacked her account. And she said, and it's almost Christmas, and I don't have any money, and my friend decided to send me some money to help me so I'm not so behind on my rent. And I was so overwhelmed by her need, and I thought, oh, gosh, what else should I do for this lady? Because she needs everything. She, you know, she didn't have what she needed for basic anything, and Christmas is coming up. And I was so overwhelmed thinking, oh, gosh, what should I have to do? And it occurred to me, my only job for that day was to give her a meal. I didn't have anything else to give her. My job was her meal. And her friend had already sent money for her other needs, and God would send someone else for whatever else she needed. My only job was her one meal. And I think that's how the body works, is I didn't have everything this lady needed. I just had that one thing.
Thank you. Hi, Tiff.
I just want to say this church has been, everything I do is pretty much with this church. And I begin rides. Project one is help me with my house and everything. And if it wasn't for this church, I probably wouldn't be here. Everybody has been so instrumental in my life. So thank you.
Ryan, put the microphone on your chin. There you go.
Probably the Salvation Army bell ringers, those Project Christmas Child shoeboxes, and other charities like that, Christian charities. Yeah, I've seen the body work through, the church body work through those.
Awesome. You want to say more? I get to ring the Salvation Army bell every year, and I collect the most money on my shift. I have secret weapons. I take a couple of my grandkids who dress in tuxedos and a dress, and they help me ring the bell.
How do
That's
you,
the body of Christ at work.
How do you know you make the most money unless you're stealing it?
They ask me if I could ring more because my kettle always has the most money in it.
Don't give to him, he's keeping it. I've seen the
this
body...
This is Courtney, my other daughter. You heard from the good daughter, this is Courtney. My...
And I've said before, when you're not the good daughter, there's nowhere to go but up, so... I just want to say, this is kind of a different one. I have so many thoughts of things, of how our body works, but I wanted to bring up one that maybe we don't think about, and that's that we're not just a family on Sundays, but we're a family connected in the community when we go out, even to the grocery store. I'm always at ease and in comfort when I'm somewhere and I see our family members there. I know that if I'm, especially if you're in Junction or somewhere else, you just feel like you have your family there when you see them at Target or wherever. But even here in Craig, even when I'm at City Market, I know that my family's in the room if I need them. And this even leads into when we dedicate our babies before the church, we say a little thing as a church that we are coming together to raise the kids together. And that's true when my kids are out and about the community. I know everything that they're doing because I get texts. Hey, I'm at the movie theater sitting behind your kids. I'll let you know how they are. I'm at the dance and I'll take pictures of your kids and make sure they behave. It really, everywhere they are, I know that it's not just me as their mom who is always watching them. And it's not even just God, but he has his little messengers through each of you looking over and looking out for our kids in this church. And I do the same for your kids when I'm there. I check in on them and make sure they're okay or just look after them. And so the thing we do up here with baby dedication doesn't just exist on Sundays. It exists for those of us as parents that are at the events with one another, and we're glad to have each other looking out for our kids. And Tina Eckhoff, anytime she's anywhere, I'm so at ease because I know she's going to take care of all the kids that are there.
Well, I'm going to ask those who are helping to serve communion if they'd come and the team come back. If there was someone else who wanted to share, we can do that as well while we're coming. Yeah, Elizabeth. Excuse me, sir.
Well, I just want to express gratitude to this church because whenever we needed help or needed support, y'all are right there. You guys were a tremendous blessing and help when I was recovering from my partial knee replacement. So being the mom, it's hard to be down, but having you guys there, it did help make the job easier. And just having all that support, and even for the kids, you know, I'm grateful for Tina who runs the children's, so, because, you know, having my youngest be autistic and ADD, he doesn't just get along with everybody. So the fact that he loves, you know, seeing her and they enjoy being here at times, not all the time, of course, but most of the time. But I am very grateful to this church and being there for us.
Janet.
My daughter spent some time here this summer, and this body wrapped themselves around her with love. I'm so appreciative, and Daryl and I felt that too. So I just want to thank this body of believers that cared for us so much this summer.
I'm Norma Prestrud, and the biggest thing about this church when we started coming are the kids, the children. I've been in churches where there aren't any children, meaning that there are families here, and I love watching families at work, and I have to give a shout out to Courtney. I've been in her Bible study, and she is just amazing, and I'm so grateful that she offers the opportunity to anyone, any of the ladies, to be in it. And believe me, I'm the oldest one.
I'm Natalie, and I've been coming here for 8 years, and this is the healthiest church I've ever been in. But I have a story about, I teach school, and I heard this conversation in my classroom before Christmas. A young boy was saying that he's going to Awana, and he was telling these other kids in my class, I'm learning, I know some stuff in the Bible, but those other kids know everything. They know everything about the Bible. So praise God for Awana.
Thank you. Austin, would you pray for this bread that represents Jesus' broken body?